a causa di tutte le persone creative, interessanti e appassionate che ho avuto la possibilità di incontrare. Con tantissime opportunità per imparare tutti gli aspetti della trasmissione e della produzione sonora, essere coinvolti con CJLO è un modo davvero fantastico per farti sentire. Se sei interessato a diventare un volontario con CJLO, invia un'email a volunteer@cjlo.com o fai la domanda su cjlo.com/volunteer.
For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. On Saturday, March 16th, the Association of Graduate Students employed by McGill agreed upon an 8-week strike after a series of failed negotiations with the university. With an exam period around the corner, a major disruption is anticipated for students and professors. Dallas Jokic, a member of the association's bargaining team, told the Montreal Gazette that the strike can be prevented if McGill offers them a fair deal. McGill's teaching assistants' hourly pay is around $33, and they are asking for wages that are comparable with those granted by other Canadian leading universities, such as the University of Toronto, where they pay teaching assistants $47 per hour. They are also appealing for their pay to be safe from an annual 3% inflation, increased healthcare benefits, and the regulation of their allocated hours so that they conform with their workload. According to Mario Roy, the president of the association, if the strike takes place, teaching assistants won't be getting paid by the university, but the costs will be compensated by the association's own fund and the members' access to the fund of the Confédération des syndicats nationaux strike. If the strike takes place, more than 2,300 teaching assistants will be partaking in it. The association is set to meet with McGill again on Tuesday. The NDG Legion opened its door on March 15th for St. Patrick's Day festivities. Katie Brady has more.
This Friday, locals gathered at the NDG Legion to break bread over a bowl of Irish stew for St. Paddy's Day. Legion President Bob Boutillier wants the community to know the space isn't just for military families.
We've had a Jewish cantor rent this place for various Jewish holidays, particularly family and kids holidays. We've had a Palestinian group rent this place for arts and crafts.
Della Robertson, Sergeant-at-Arms of the NDG branch, explained its connection to the Irish Montreal community.
As I said, we have the initial sports group that come here, meet here, and they have their dinners here. And some people from the United Irish Society has been in the dinners for the Inishville. So this past year, when they had the head table and everything else, they had the people that were going to be marching in the parade. Yeah.
Robertson said the Legion provides services for vets in need, but to survive, they need a range of community events to make use of the space so it can remain open. She noted several branches which have closed in recent years, explaining that the pandemic was a serious hit to many branches like hers.
Some of my friends says, oh, the building's closed down. No, the building's not closed down. It's really functional.
Boutillier added that many were in trouble before COVID.
The legions, particularly in the cities, were dying out because the culture in the military for 20, 30 years has completely forgot about the legion. So we've got 30 years worth of people in the military that don't even know the legion exists and what it's there for. So there's no renewal of younger people.
As part of the efforts to bring in more young people, Boutillier often speaks at local high schools, and he's inspired by the interest they show. The branch invites anyone to visit for a pint or a game of pool Fridays, 1 to 8 p.m., or to check out their Facebook to find out about upcoming meals and events. They hope to open more days a week in the near future. In NDG, for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
We'll be right back. coming up short. Yeah, and I dig this now, even though.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tommy John Show is back here on a snowy Monday, March the 18th. And if you're new to the program, I am Tommy Lane, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. And this is the Tommy John Show, where every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, we talk about everything going on in the world of sports. And, man, when I signed off on the show last week, I said, you know, hopefully we have some big news to talk about. Like, we'll have the Indian Wells to talk about, tennis, great final yesterday. We'll have the Players Championship, and maybe we'll recap that crazy show we had when literally everything was going on. We had Kirk Cousins signing in Atlanta. We had Saquon Barkley signing with Philadelphia, and we just had just every big story we wanted to see in free agency happened. All within the hour we were on air. So I had a script. It's like, here we go. And that immediately went out the window. But to be fair, one of our topics was Kirk Cousins linked to Atlanta. What do we think about that? And literally 10 minutes before I was going to start that segment, Adam Schefter broke the news that he was signing his $180 million contract with the Falcons. But not only was that crazy last week, since then, we've had ridiculous news in the National Football League. We have quarterbacks trading places like there's no tomorrow. We had our March Madness bracket set. I mean, crazy weekend for conference championships. And that tips off Thursday. Maybe the two best days for watching basketball. I love the NBA, but nothing beats the first few days of March Madness when you have just crazy upsets and buzzer beaters and all those games on the first 2 days, maybe first 4 days too. It's really spectacular. So we'll get into that, who I like going into the tournament. Not like it matters. I get it wrong every year. No one knows what the hell's going on. Sure, we can get the final four teams right, but like going through each bracket, no one knows. Obviously, we had the Players' Championship. We have Indian Wells. We had all these things. So why don't we start off with a quick recap of what happened over the past week, and then we'll get into some NFL talk. I mean, Justin Fields on the move from Chicago to Pittsburgh. We had Sam Howell going from Washington to Seattle. We had Sam Darnold signing in Minnesota. We had Desmond Ridder going from Atlanta to Arizona. Whole bunch of moves. And then we also had draft trades as well, because Minnesota trading a few second-round picks to go to, trading a few second-round picks with Houston to get another first-round pick. And if you're looking at all the recent mock drafts, everyone now knows Minnesota's in for a quarterback. They have two first-round picks now, which is ammunition to move up into the top five and get themselves a quarterback. And I'm just looking at recent mocks. People saying Caleb Williams, done deal to Chicago at one. Then there's the Drake May, Jaden Daniels, pick your poison. But we have reports of the Raiders maybe moving up. Obviously, Minnesota moving up. What's going to happen with the Chargers? Because they let go of their two best receivers over the past week. They had to cut Mike Williams to create cap space. We thought to keep Keenan Allen. Then they turn around and trade Keenan Allen to the Chicago Bears. So the Bears from a year ago this time having Darnell Mooney as their number one receiver now have two elite wide receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And I love Justin Fields. I really do. I feel like he he got the short end of the stick because he was playing at Chicago when they had no one around him. And now Caleb Williams is going to walk right into Chicago with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, a healthy Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, the running back. I mean, Justin Fields never had these weapons. We're going to get into Justin Fields, though, in a little bit. So, craziness all over the NFL. The NHL, we're getting closer and closer to the postseason. And you know what that means? We're starting to see who can be in the postseason. Everyone said Florida was for sure going to be the one seed in the Atlantic. It's going to be Boston, Toronto. Well, the Panthers have been on a little bit of a slip recently, and the Bruins have won two in a row. So right now, the Bruins lead the Atlantic Division, Florida in second, the Leafs far and away in third down the road. They are 9 points back of Florida and 10 points back of Boston. They have games in hand, but that is a lot of ground to make up. The New York Islanders still are, the New York Rangers are still leading the way in the Metropolitan. The New York Islanders, though, once they were coming on strong, but they've lost four in a row, they were right in that wild card race. They have fallen back a bit. The Carolina Hurricanes, after picking up Evgeny Kuznetsov and Jake Guentzel, are playing great hockey. Three wins in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. They're just four back of the New York Rangers in the Metropolitan. We head over to the Western Conference, where the Winnipeg Jets continue to lead the way. They are tied with the Colorado Avalanche, but they have that extra game in hand, which is useful. The Colorado Avalanche, six wins in a row. Nathan MacKinnon leading the league in points. He is the heavy favorite to win the Hart Trophy right now, and he deserves it. He's playing spectacular hockey right now. Spectacular. And we cannot forget about the Dallas Stars, who are also on 91 points, but they have played more games than both Winnipeg and Colorado. But hey, they're on 91 points, 6-3-1 in their last 10. The Blackhawks are at the bottom of the NHL, but Connor Bedard is putting on a clinic right now. Earlier in the week, he had 3 points, then 5 points, had 2 points last night. He is really, really finding his game. And if you're a Blackhawks fan, I know it's tough now. You are only on 43 points, which is dreadful. But you have a generational player on your franchise who's 18 years old. So they don't mind losing right now. They just want to see Bedard putting up points and numbers, and he is doing that. And it's truly spectacular. Truly spectacular to watch him. If we go to the Pacific, my God, Vancouver and Edmonton, two Canadian teams leading the way. The Canucks on 92 points. They've lost two in a row here, but they still have a bit of a lead on the Oilers. But the Oilers have three games in hand and are only 8 points back. And if I were to tell you that in November when they couldn't even beat San Jose, and then they hired Chris Knobloch as the new head coach, they let Woodcroft go, and they have been a different team since. 7-1-2 in their last 10. They also had the 16-game win streak in the middle of the year. They are making the postseason, and they now have a nice, easy gap on the LA Kings. They're 5 up on LA with 2 games in hand. And it seems like we get that series every year now. We feel like it's always Vegas or Vancouver at the top last few years. And then it's always been 2-3 Edmonton, LA, and we get in the first round. Right now, and it looks like right now, because Edmonton's 8 back, I know they still have 3 games in hand. That would put them on 90 points if they were to win those. We look like we're getting it again. And that's why LA traded to get Pierre-Luc Dubois, because they fell down the middle of the ice. Yes, Philippe Deneau's good and Kopitar's good, but older. They need another center. Now down the middle of the ice, I know Dubois hasn't been that good, but they're banking on him being a playoff performer. So we shall see. We shall see. But right now, the Edmonton Oilers looking good. Very good. And if you want a Canadian team to look out for in the postseason, you're going to have a few. I know in this town, saying root for Toronto is a stretch. If you're looking for a Canadian team, head out west. You have Winnipeg, Vancouver, and Edmonton. The class of the Western Conference right now. It's really nice to see. We head over to the National Basketball Association, where not much has changed. The Celtics still cruising at the top of the Eastern Conference. 9.5 games up on the Milwaukee Bucks. We head down to the little play-in area, and there's some really intriguing matchups. We have Miami at the 7th seed, Philadelphia at the 8th seed, the Bulls at the 9th seed, the Hawks at the 10th seed. And Philly's really missing Joel Embiid right now. I know they won their last game, but they are 4-6 in their last 10. And the last thing they want is to play Boston or Milwaukee in the first round. So they are hoping that they can get Joel Embiid back. If I go through the rest of the conference, I said the Bucks in second, the Cleveland Cavaliers in third place. The Knicks have won three in a row. They are the four seed right now. And maybe the surprise of the NBA this season, the Orlando Magic, the five seed. They are 8-2 in their last 10, have won three in a row. Man, no one saw that coming. They are firmly in a playoff spot right now. The Toronto Raptors falling farther and farther away from that last play-in spot. They are 7.5 back of the 10 seed, which is the Atlanta Hawks for the play-in game. So not looking good for the Raptors. We head over to the Western Conference, and it is the Oklahoma City Thunder leading the way. They are a half game up on the defending champions, Denver Nuggets. The Minnesota Timberwolves, a half game back at Denver, one game back of Oklahoma City, which is surprising to see. The Los Angeles Clippers, the four seed, New Orleans Pelicans, the five seed, Sacramento six, and then we got just crazy matchups 7-10. The Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic, who put on a performance last night against the Nuggets. The eight seed, the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. The nine seed, Golden State and the Lakers in at the 10 seed. But I hate to say this, the Lakers are no guarantee to make it. Yes, they're 3.5 up now, but right behind them are the red-hot Houston Rockets, who have won five in a row. And they're looking good right now. So the Lakers still need, I know, 3.5 back. You think, oh, we got some room. Just got to win some games. You got to win some games. They've lost two in a row. But look at those play-in matchups. Like I'm saying, I think we said earlier, I think Adam Silver would prefer Dallas, Phoenix, Golden State, the Lakers just to be in. But it looks like right now those are our play-in matchups. You would have Dallas play Phoenix, Golden State play Los Angeles, and then loser of the Dallas-Phoenix game would play the winner of Golden State and the Lakers for the final playoff spot. Pretty intriguing. Spring training is fully on our way, and we are just a couple of weeks away from opening day. Gerrit Cole, the Yankees ace and reigning Cy Young winner, hurt his arm earlier in spring training, and reports came over the weekend. He will not need Tommy John surgery, only out 1 to 2 months. Scotty Scheffler wins the Players' Championship to go back-to-back, and he has won two events in a row now. Won the Arnold Palmer last week, now wins the Players. He is the heavy favorite to win his second green jacket in 3 years in just under a month's time. Wyndham Clark, the U.S. Open champion, and Xander Schauffele finishing right behind him. And Carlos Alcaraz winning at Indian Wells to beat Yannick Sinner in the semifinal in a great match on Friday. Sinner hadn't lost a match all year, won the Australian Open, won his tournaments leading into Indian Wells, but falls short against Carlos Alcaraz. He takes down Daniil Medvedev in straight sets in the final. And on the women's side, Iga Swiatek winning in straight sets over Maria Sakkari, 6-4, 6-love. She takes home the Indian Wells title. And guess what? Miami Open starts right away this week. Qualifications for that. We're going to get to a quick ad. We're going to come back and talk that crazy week that was in the National Football League in March, which is not common at all. So we're going to talk about Justin Fields. We're going to talk about Keenan Allen. We're going to talk about where do the Steelers go from here. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. We're back after this quick word from...
Sound is proud to present Shada Hayes. Discover the country folk of singer-songwriter Shada Hayes with Kindergarten Heart, an album as fun as it is profound. Available now on CD and colored vinyl. Shada Hayes will perform at Le Ministère on April 4th for the Kindergarten Heart record release show, sharing stage with her band and surprise guests. Tickets are on sale now. For more information and for all tour dates, go to boldsound.com.
All good beginnings need some variation. Tune into REVC with me, Maxwell. with something different every week. Mondays at noon on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here. So yeah, what a week we had in sports. I mean, okay, we had great golf, great tennis, spring training, hockey, basketball, you name it. But man, what a week in the NFL. So not only did we have free agency, so we had all the big signings. We had the Kirk Cousins question answered. We had the Saquon Barkley question answered. We had, okay, what team is going to look at Justin Fields? And that was our question Monday. Well, Atlanta, I thought, was. Now they're going Kirk Cousins. What is that going to do? And randomly, as I'm getting ready to go out Saturday night for St. Patrick's Day, happy belated St. Patrick's Day for everyone listening, my phone starts going off, and it's Adam Schefter saying, Justin Fields heading to Pittsburgh for a six-rounder that can turn into a fourth-rounder if he plays a certain percentage of the snaps. And I thought to myself, what? A fourth rounder? Fourth. At best. It's a sixth rounder if he doesn't play, really. And then I don't know the percentage of the snaps he has to play. But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. We were hearing that maybe they can get early second if there's a team real, like, would teams throw a one at him? Probably not, but definitely second round pick is what the Bears are looking for. They got a six, and I understand that. Hey, we have the number one overall pick. The team's finally good. We're signed. I mean, on paper, we signed Montez Sweat. We signed the elite corner. I'm forgetting his name now. Jalen Johnson, I think his name is. They signed him. We signed DeAndre Swift. We have DJ Moore. We trade for Keenan Allen. And then it's like, well, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? Like, Fields is staying and they're going to trade the first overall pick? Like, what does this all mean? And it's a six-round pick when I heard it the other day. I was thinking maybe Fields is going to get traded draft night. Like, who's interested in him? So when Kirk signed in Atlanta, which was everyone saying Atlanta for Justin Fields, everyone's looking maybe Minnesota because Sam Darnold's, you know, he's not Kirk Cousins. He's not Fran Tarkenton for Minnesota fans. What's that signing do for us? Because the team's good. You have maybe the best receiver in the NFL in Jefferson. I mean, Addison showed to be a legit receiver. You sign Aaron Jones. You have an elite left tackle, good O-line, a very, very, very good head coach. I mean, what are we doing here? Sam Darnold's going to be the answer? Now, it could be Kevin O'Connell comes from the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan tree. They don't want, let's say they don't want a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, but they have no problem winning games with just typical pocket passers who don't turn the ball over, and Sam Darnold could do that. He could do that. But people immediately start throwing out hypotheticals. Yeah, he's going to Minnesota now. The Bears don't care that he's going to Minnesota. They just want a good return. And then, oh, the Patriots. And then we hear, oh, Antonio Pierce loves Justin Fields. He's going to go to the Raiders. And then one team that was mentioned before free agency, way before free agency, like when the season ended for the Bears in January, got to watch the Steelers for Justin Fields. And it made sense. But then they filled that void not even a week earlier. I think on Sunday night, the report came out, Russell Wilson, the Steelers, for like $1 million or $1.2 million. Then the next week, yes, they need another quarterback. The next week, we hear on the Saturday night, Justin Fields is going to Pittsburgh for a 6th-round pick. Could be a 4th if he plays a lot. All right. So now they went from a quarterback room of Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Kenny Pickett gets traded to Philadelphia. Mitch Trubisky is now Josh Allen's backup in Buffalo. And good old Mason Rudolph's in Tennessee, I believe, signed with the Titans. So Russ was the only quarterback on the roster. So people thought, okay, they might sign a veteran guy on his last legs, play some games if Russ isn't healthy. No, they go swing bid and take a guy who could easily be the next franchise quarterback for the Steelers based on his talent. No one is disregarding Justin Fields' talent. He is in one of the most talented players in the NFL. I mean, no one can, like, the way he runs and breaks tackles, it's unbelievable. And when he was coming out of college, the draft report on him is that he's got a killer arm. If people watched him at Ohio State, yes, I know Ohio State had a track team of wide receivers. All elite NFL wide receivers were playing at Ohio State with him. I get that. But you watch him throw the ball, and you're like, this kid can throw it. Now he goes to Chicago, where they have literally nothing. Not like, anywhere. Their O-line stunk. I mean, he had David Montgomery, I guess. Decent running back before he went to Detroit. And literally no receivers. It was Darnell Mooney. They tried the Chase Claypool thing, which is a disaster. Cole Kmet's good, but you can't throw to a tight end every play. Unless you're the Chiefs, I guess. So he was like, but your eyes told you something. Even if the Bears were losing and his numbers weren't spectacular, you just look at the team like, God, the team stinks. But he makes 3 to 4 plays a game where you're just in awe. You're like, how did he do that? How'd he do that? How'd he break all those tackles? How'd he do all this? So here's the problem. Not saying Justin Fields is a bust. He isn't right now because no one could have succeeded in that situation. But we don't know what he is. We know he's talented enough to play in the league. But the question is, can someone put him in a good situation? People keep falling into the trap saying Mike Tomlin's a defensive coach. I don't know if he can develop quarterbacks. Do not worry about a Mike Tomlin coach team. They got Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. He helped turn Ryan Tannehill's career around when he was the OC in Tennessee. The one good year Tannehill had in Tennessee. Arthur Smith was the coordinator. Based off that, he got the Falcons job. Now he's the OC. Arthur Smith will take care of Justin Fields. Mike Tomlin is one of the great coaches in the league, and I don't want to hear anyone say anything else. People are like, oh, well, he just goes 9-8, 10-7 every year. Every year. The roster's not that good. Before the year started, everyone, oh, Cincinnati's better, Baltimore's better, Cleveland's better, and somehow the Steelers in the playoffs, again, winning 10 games. I'm sorry. Yes, they get in week 18 now. I was going to say 17. Week 18, they get in and are the 7th seed and then get blown out in the wild card. But they still get into the playoffs every year. He hasn't had a losing season. And when he had an elite quarterback, he was winning Super Bowls and going to Super Bowls. Not many coaches could have done what Mike Tomlin did last year and over in the last few years with this roster. Yes, they got a very good defense, but their O-line is suspect. And I know George Pickens just got here and is good, but come on now. There's no A.B. and Le'Veon Bell on this team. There isn't. And there's no Ben Roethlisberger either. And they're still going to the playoffs. So what I would say is I like where Justin Fields is going just because it's a winning culture. He's going to a winning team. The Steelers are a loyal team. I think they'll give him time. I know he'll be a free agent after next year, but I could see him staying. Him and Mike Tomlin have a good relationship, apparently. So he's going to have stability. He's going to have a heck of a head coach. He's going to have a good offensive coordinator. I'll say what you want about Arthur Smith as a head coach. Good offensive coordinator. He's going to have two good running backs in Warren and Najee Harris. Freiermuth's still there. George Pickens showed signs of being an elite receiver. But the main problem in this is where does Russell Wilson fall in? Now, if I were to guess, Russell Wilson probably starts the year. Let Justin learn the system a bit, get him comfortable, because I'm betting right now Justin Fields their long-term answer at quarterback. That's what they're hoping. So, what do? We let Russ go in there. Justin, you didn't have a chance to really sit and learn. Just sit, learn from a Super Bowl champ quarterback who, honestly, in his prime, was a similar comp to Justin Fields. I think Justin's a little bit more athletic, a bit quicker. But Russell Wilson is prime. You could say he's a similar comparable for Justin Fields. So they're going to let him sit behind him, watch, and see what happens. And I don't think that's a bad strategy. But now the problem is, if Russ stings up the joint and play like he's been playing the last 2 years, people are going to want Justin Fields on the field now. They're going to want him on the field by week two, week three. If two bad games by Russ, they're going to be like, get him out of here. I don't want to watch this. And it'll be pressure. So, I really like the move. And it's so low risk. They give up a 6th-round pick that can turn into a 4th-round pick. I'm surprised more teams weren't in on that. Based on the talent alone. I'm a Patriots fan. I'd take a swing on Justin Fields. We have so many needs. Okay, we want a Drake May or a Jaden Daniel. Okay, but the team's not ready right now. The team stinks. Look at the Raiders. They need a quarterback. Minnesota needs a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. Why not throw a 6th-rounder? Or a 5th? Just to see, you know, just see. Because he's so talented. And he was on a terrible team, just rotting away. Now, the Bears, I like them saying all of our eggs are in the Caleb Williams basket. I like that. Could they have done better business if they traded him earlier or traded him last year? Maybe. But they were all in on Justin Fields, so probably about Thanksgiving this year when they realized Carolina's so bad, we're going to have the first pick again, and we cannot punt again. We can't do it. And if Caleb Williams was in last year's draft, he obviously goes 1. So basically they traded Bryce Young away for DJ Moore, another first-round pick this year, so Caleb Williams. Who was their first-round pick last year? Forget who they ended up. I think they had the kid with Darnell Wright from the kid from Tennessee, the lineman. He's a stud. They got him. And then I don't know what the full picks turned out to be. Maybe one of the picks could have been Keenan Allen's pick. I'm not sure. I need to see the full details. I'm forgetting them right now, exactly what Bryce Young went for. But I love what the Bears are doing, and it's Caleb Williams' team. And also, you restart the clock on the contract. If Justin Fields was a starter this year, balls out, he's going to want his contract. Caleb Williams is 5 years on the cheap for the Bears. It's going to be like 5 years, 40-something million bucks. Just shy of $10 million a year. That's a joke in the NFL. Sam Darnold's making $10 million a year. Here, the full trade deals of that trade. So it was the first overall pick, for DJ Moore, first pick last year, second round pick, first pick, and a second round pick in 25. So it's going to be DJ Moore, Darnell Wright. I don't know who they took in the second round. I'll have to check that. Caleb Williams. At 2025 second, so we shall see. Oh, my goodness. Now, what I will say now about... I'll say I like it for Pittsburgh. I'm surprised more teams weren't in on Justin Fields. I think Fields will be really good. Learning from Russell Wilson. I know Russ is shot, but still... Just learn some things, how to, you know, to go over game tape, all the can learn all these things. He's going to a steady culture and one of the elite coaches in the NFL. I don't care if he's a defensive-minded coach. He's a Super Bowl champion. His team makes the playoffs every year. That's going to be good for Justin Fields. Now, for the Bears, it's great. Because, sure, they could have gotten more. But... You have to show Caleb Williams and show your fan base that there's not going to be an issue. Fields is not still going to be here when we take Caleb Williams. This is Caleb Williams' team. And we're not going to make the mistake of not surrounding a quarterback with anything like last time. We're going to get DeAndre Swift, so we have an elite running back. We're going to get Keenan Allen, and we're going to invest in the offensive line. That's what we're going to do. And honestly, all signs would be pretty darn good. Caleb Williams is going to be spectacular. I'm sorry, that's what he's going to be. He is that good of a talent. He's that good. And he's going to have actual receivers. And... He's not having the Luke Getsy offense. Luke Getsy's gone. He doesn't have to have that stagnant offense that Justin Fields played in. He's going to have a brand new offensive coordinator to give him plays. Now, people are saying he would rather go to Washington because Cliff Kingsbury's there. I don't care. He's going to have Shane Waldron. He's the new OC. Trust me, this is a good... The Bears... If I know we look at them recently, like, oh, they've stink. You look at their roster compared to the past number one pick teams. This is one of the best rosters for a team picking at number one in a while. Think about it. The Panthers stunk. Like, genuinely awful. Like, genuinely awful. When Trevor Lawrence went to Jacksonville, that was a dumpster fire. When Burrow went to Cincinnati, that was a dumpster fire. They hadn't picked T. Higgins yet. He was picked in the same draft. Go through him. Before that, I mean, when Baker went to Cleveland, yeah, they had pieces, but they won one game or no games the year before, I forget. When Kyler went to Arizona, they weren't a good football team. You know? Like, it's not... It's not crazy to say this is one of the best teams and everyone pick has gone to based on roster talent. They have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, good offensive line. I'm trying to remember the last time a number one pick went to that good of a situation. Hell, even a number two pick. No CJ Stroud, like the Texans had some pieces, but come on. Not like this. And for his brand, he's going to a huge market. Chicago, the third biggest market in the country, and maybe football-wise, one of the biggest. New York, you got two teams. LA, you got two teams, and LA doesn't really care about the NFL anyway. The Bears are the only show in town. It is a monster city, and he is going to be the face of the football team and the savior of the franchise. And if he is half as good as advertised, the Bears are going to be a playoff team for years to come based on that roster. I mean, with their metro area, I'm just looking at it, 10 million people. They have diehard, and also one of the historic organizations in the NFL. Or do you want to go to I don't buy those rumors going to Washington. This is too much sense. This is too good of a roster for a number one pick to pass up. Going to the NFC as well. The AFC is a gauntlet. It's a gauntlet. Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Allen, Lamar, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers. Like, are you kidding me? Who's the best quarterback in the NFC? Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, and I love those two. Those are two, I think they're great players. Kirk Cousins, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. You tell me if Caleb Williams is not one of the five best quarterbacks, if he's half as good as he's projected to be. Half. He is going to a great spot. And yes, the Lions are very good, and the Packers are going to be very good. Minnesota's decent. But the NFC, it doesn't take much to get into the postseason there. They got to take seven teams. They got to. Now, what was telling to me is that at first there was chatter of Caleb Williams, oh, no, I'm going to go, and we've heard nothing over the past month. Because they've had meetings with him, and they probably said, we're going all in for you. Like, you're coming to Chicago, and we're going to surround you with good players. That's what it had to be. Now, the other main quarterback story over the weekend was Sam Howell, who, yeah, he put up big passing yards numbers, but the team wasn't that good. He's not a great talent. He goes to Seattle. And Seattle's another interesting area to talk about, because you have Geno Smith there. You had a team that underachieved, frankly. They made the playoffs last year, and then they added even more pieces from the Russell Wilson trade. Devin Witherspoon, they got an elite corner as a rookie last year, so he's only going to get better. Is Sam Howell going to start, is my question. Geno has, what, 2 years left on his deal, but they can probably opt out after this year. They don't mind cutting him with 1 year left. I think Geno starts week one, but here's the thing. Is Sam Howell the long-term answer at quarterback? I don't know. I haven't seen enough. I saw his numbers, and people are like, look how many yards he's throwing for, but a lot of them were empty calories at the end of the games. They're getting blown out. He's still in the field. All right, keep him in there. Let him grow, and they're playing prevent defense. He gets his yards. But I do not see him being an elite, elite quarterback. I don't. I'm sorry if I'm being harsh. Like, you telling me you would rather have Sam Howell than Justin Fields? No. And Seattle gave up more to get Sam Howell than the Steelers did to get Justin Fields, which is maybe telling us something. We're not behind the scenes. We're not hearing the conversation they had. Maybe they met with Fields. They didn't like him. I don't know. But I was stunned to see how much they gave up to get Sam Howell. And at that rate, I don't care if you don't like him. Like, it's unless you think Sam Howell's a franchise guy, which I don't see. What I saw him in North Carolina. I've seen him now, what, a year and a bit in the NFL. I'm just not the biggest fan. I'm not. I'm sorry. Like, I know he's 23 years old. He had his moments. He threw for, what, 4,000 yards or close to it last year. Was it 3,900 yards last year? Okay. He also threw 21 interceptions, too. So Seattle got Howell and a fourth and a sixth in exchange for a third and a fifth. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much what it is. Now, I don't know if he starts week one. That's my thing. I don't no idea if he starts week one. They're taking a shot on him because he's had moments where he has looked good, but I don't get it. I do not get teams going for Sam Howell or Kenny Pickett or Desmond Ridder, trading for them over Fields. Are you kidding me? Now, I know Arizona just wanted a backup because Kyler's their guy. Okay, fair. But New England and the Raiders and Seattle, Minnesota, just not taking a chance on him? Okay, you don't want to give up a second round pick, but he finally goes for a six, and Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder and Kenny Pickett are going for more? Makes no sense whatsoever. It really doesn't. I don't know what's going on. I couldn't believe he went for a six-round pick. And when I saw Sam Howell going to Seattle, I'm like, well, what's this? That also told us Washington drafting a quarterback. It's going to be May or Daniels. I think they'll go May. I think they'll go Daniels. Kingsbury likes a more mobile quarterback. I could be wrong. Either or, they're going to make their pick. But it's going to be interesting if one of those falls. New England's got to love one of those quarterbacks more than another. So if one of them falls, do they trade out? That's another thing. There's a whole bunch of discussions we can have prior to the NFL draft, which is just over a month away. We have a pretty good idea who's going one, but after that, it's going to be very eventful. There's a ton of good quarterbacks on the board. You have, we won't even count Caleb Williams. You have May, Daniels, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, Bo Nix from Oregon, Michael Penix from Washington. And then later on, you have the guys like Milton and Spencer Rattler who have crazy arm talent but can be erratic sometimes. Those guys are going to go in the third, fourth round. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. We'll get into a quick ad and we'll come back and close out this week for the Tommy John Show. We'll preview some hockey games to look out for this week. And also, hey, baseball's right around the corner. We'll talk some of that after this quick word from our sponsors. You're listening to the Tommy John Show on CJLO 1690 AM.
Cigarettes after sex. Live in Montreal, X's World Tour. Bell Center, Saturday, August 31st. Get tickets now at Evenko.ca. The brand new album, X's, is available everywhere July 12th. For more, visit cigarettesaftersex.com.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, indie, and more, along with some favorites of the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley every Friday at 11 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome back to the Tommy John Show. Last 12 or so minutes for this week. I just thought it was interesting to see what those guys went for and see what Justin Fields went for. Pretty crazy. Six-round pick. So playoff hockey a month away, too. And, man, would we not love to have good matchups? And now, here's the thing. With this new playoff format, when they broke it off into Atlantic, Metro, Pacific, Central, they're like Gary Bettman's reasoning. We want rivalries. You know, we want New York or the two New York teams playing each other, New York, New Jersey. We want Boston, Toronto, Montreal. We want them playing each other. The problem is with this, though, is that it's every year we're getting similar matchups. We're getting them every year, which we would not get in the 1-8 system. The NBA, sure, we get them in the conference finals or the NBA finals, you get similar matchups. Okay, the cream rises at the top. But at least the first two rounds, you get new teams in. It's 1-8. Now, in the NHL, I cannot believe some of these matchups. We might have Boston-Toronto again. We might have New York and Philadelphia again. It's like LA, Edmonton. We've had that 2 years, 3 years in a row. I mean, if you go through it, it's like I've already seen these before. I've seen Colorado play Dallas. I've seen Vegas play Edmonton. I've seen LA play Edmonton till the cows come home. I've seen Carolina play the Rangers. I've seen Carolina play Washington. I've seen all these. But I haven't seen in a while. I haven't seen the Rangers play the Bruins. I haven't seen Washington play Toronto in a while. I haven't seen the Islanders play Florida in a while. These matchups we used to get in a 1-8, we don't get anymore. Like, it's sad. I miss the 1-8 playoff in hockey. It's so much better. You get the favorable matchups for higher ranked teams. Like, Toronto is going to be a very... Would Toronto be what? Like, the 4th seed in the East? 15 in the... They'd be the 4th seed in the East. Right now, they would be on the road at Florida. How's that for a 100-point season for Toronto? Go to Florida. We were in the Stanley Cup Final last year. That, like, what? No. Who really gets the advantage? I mean, I've seen all these... Look at the Metropolitan. I see these every year. Who's really salivating and craving another Rangers-Hurricanes series? Oh, sign me up. Now, hockey-wise, product-wise, like, that'd be great. But, like, it's the same teams playing each other early on. Early on is when you're supposed to get some crazy matchups. March Madness, you get crazy matchups. The NBA, you get fun matchups. Baseball, fun matchups. NFL, fun matchups. Here, no. You're going to play the same four teams who make the playoffs because teams go through windows. And now Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, they're in the down part of the window. But eventually they're going to enter the fold, and they're going to be the teams that make the playoffs. But right now, in the Atlantic, we're in the Boston, Toronto, Florida, Tampa run. And in the Metro, we're in the Rangers, Hurricanes, Capitals, little run. And we get those matchups all the time. Literally, I think the last 3 years at least, or my bad, since COVID, I think Edmonton's played LA in the first round like every year since COVID. And we're going to get it again. Why? Like, let's 1-8 it like every other league who does the full ranking system. No, so we're going to break it off into four little sections. No, it's so ridiculous. And Bettman is a loser when it comes to admitting he's wrong. He never does that. Arizona, like, he's still hell-bent that that's going to work. We'll see. It's going to take 50 years. He'll be like, see, I told you it'd work. Yeah, but know how much money it costed? Here's another thing. He will not concede this terrible playoff format we have. Makes no sense. Metro, Atlantic, Pacific, Central. Like, no. Just have the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. 16 teams in each. 1-8. And I would like a little play-in, too. Like the NBA, that'd be good for television. 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. Why not? Just an idea. I am telling you, I can't with this playoff format. Makes no sense. And then the wild card crosses over. Oh my God, give me a break. So stupid. And they're not going to change for a while. He just hates change. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls the plug on Winnipeg, I'm being honest. If they can draw better, and they have arguably the best team in the league, if they don't draw better, Bettman will pull the plug on Winnipeg like there's no tomorrow. A great hockey market in Winnipeg. Arizona, we're going to keep it till forever because it was my move to bring him to Phoenix. And guess what else he's going to do? I understand the reasoning for it, but they're going to try Atlanta again. I get why he's going to hit. I know I feel bad for people who want a team in Quebec City. He ain't going to Quebec City. He is going Atlanta and Houston because they are two monster cities and two markets they want to hit. And to be fair, I think hockey in Houston will do unbelievable. I think that's a smart call. You already have Dallas there. You can have a Dallas-Houston rivalry. That's great. Think about it, Houston's the fourth biggest city in the U.S. and they don't have a hockey team. And then, good old Atlanta, welcome back for the 100th time. Those are going to be the two spots. And at the end, I know I was really young when the Thrashers left, but I remember seeing anyone at Thrasher games. But now, with his new expansion draft rules, where you can set your team up for success from the get-go, he's going to give it a chance, because when Atlanta came in, when the Thrashers came in, they were going to suck because they were a new team. Now, people are seeing what Vegas are doing, and they see how Seattle made the playoffs in their second year. People are getting excited, saying, no, what if we go to Atlanta and Houston and put a good product on the ice from the start? That would change things. It really would. Anyway, that's what I have no problem with him going to Houston. I'm skeptical about Atlanta if it can work it again. It's just not a hockey market, but I get it just because of how big of a city it is. You want Atlanta. Okay, fine. But Arizona, we're still hell-bent on Arizona, and we're still hell-bent on a four-division playoff where we get the same matchups every year, which was used per rivalry stakes. Rivalries. We get rivalries now, but now it's like just repetitive. Let's change it up. Let's go. The old playoff matches we used to get 1-8, it was sick. Get difference every year. What do I know? Just thought. Baseball spring training, getting ready for that. Joey Votto going for a home run on his first pitch as a Blue Jay in spring training. That's pretty cool. We'd love to see him crack the starting lineup. Now, what I will say, I'm looking forward to watching the Dodgers, but at the same time, I'm not, because it's a super team and it's not even fair. Like, are the Dodgers going to make the playoffs? It's like, ugh. Is that even a question? So now it's with the Dodgers, it's call me in October. You're going to be there. You have five of the best 10 players in the world on your team. You have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Kershaw's still an elite pitcher, Glasnow's an elite pitcher, Walker Buehler before getting surgery, elite pitcher. Oh wait, we add Yamamoto, who's the pitching phenom from Japan, and we're going to add the best baseball player maybe ever in Shohei Ohtani. Because why not? It's fun. And trust me, if the Dodgers don't win a World Series, it's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. I know the Braves are good. I know the Diamondbacks are getting better. I know the Phillies are good. But I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You gave Ohtani $700 million. You gave Yamamoto, what, $330 million? You have Freddie Freeman already. You have Mookie Betts already. It's a joke. Absolute joke. But it's time to prove it in October. Sure, you won a World Series in the COVID year, but last year you won 100-something games and you were out pretty quickly. 2 years ago, won 100-something games, out pretty quickly. That can't happen again. That can't happen again. I want to thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Tommy John Show. We'll be back next Monday, same time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO 1690 a.m. We'll talk some more NFL headlines as well as 1 week closer to opening day in Major League Baseball. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you much for listening, and we will see you next time.